Happy Monday. Here we are. Hey, we've had a special weekend in the life of campus ministries. For some of you who don't know, we have this weekend been celebrating the 20th year of the gathering service. And we've been fortunate to bring back the original staff of 1994, which included Ben Patterson, who was the dean of the chapel, Dwight Beal, the worship leader, Darnisha Taylor, director of the gospel choir, Danny Hadley, administrative assistant, and Dolores Shevlin, who was one of the chaplains with me. It's been a great, great weekend. Blessing God for his faithfulness. Last night, if you were at the gathering, Ben preached, and Dwight and Darnisha were part of the worship last night as well, too. But we get the great privilege this morning to hear from my good sister, Dolores. As I thought of introducing Dolores, I thought back to one of the earliest elders, deacons of the church, Stephen. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, it describes Stephen this way. He was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That's Dolores. If I could sum it up in short, Dolores is a woman full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit and a sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray for her, and then I want you to welcome her. So let's pray. Mm-hmm. Jesus, it was you who said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." These are not my words, they're your words. So God, now live up to your promise as we are hungry and thirsty for you. And now for our good sister, let her deliver your word. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Dolores?
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, brother. I love you. I want to thank the campus ministry staff for allowing us to be here. My heart is so full. I'm going to try and make it through this without overflowing. So I just want to thank you for the privilege of allowing me to come back. One of the greatest joys that I've had over the last weekend is seeing so many Hope alumni that have come back and were students just like you 20 years ago, and they experienced the love of God here in such a profound way and are living their lives for Christ in so many meaningful ways of service. To see that has brought me so much immeasurable joy. So thank you for this privilege. I want to speak to you from my heart today and from my life. My life verse, if you don't have a life verse, I recommend that you ask the Lord to give you a verse that you can claim. Mine is 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and he died for all, that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." This verse is particularly meaningful to me because I experienced the love of God when I was about your age. Unfortunately, I didn't have the privilege of going to a Christian college. I went to San Diego State University with about 35,000 other people. But it was through a church that was near the college campus that I began to associate with people whose lives were really transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. They had a joy about them that showed itself in their relationships with one another. They had peace in their lives when mine was filled with anxiety and stress, just trying to get to the next exam and the next paper and go through the next hoop. But I saw in them something that I wanted, and it was more than just a religion. It was a genuine relationship with the living God. It was during that time that my faith began to grow. I had a hunger for the Bible, and I began to study it and really experience more of God. And I couldn't just keep it within the church setting. And so I began to talk to people on campus about my faith. And you know, that may sound scary. I really am an introvert, so it wasn't in my comfort zone. But I just wanted to have dialogues with people and ask them, who do you think Jesus is? And as a result of those conversations, I realized that the majority of people I talked to really felt like God was wanting to take away their joy, that no matter what they did, they could never earn his approval, and that he had demands on them that they could never fulfill. Well, that really burdened me, because at that time I was a public relations major. I didn't know what to go into. I liked words. I liked people. So I thought, well, put them together and work in public relations. So I did that. I graduated from college and I went into public relations, but I began to realize that God had so much love for these people and they didn't know it. They had distorted images of him. And I felt like God was saying, I want you to do public relations for me. I want you to show people who I really am. And this is eternal. The kind of work that I want you to do is going to matter forever. So I began to feel God's call to ministry in my life. And it was about that time that my father began to show a lot of disapproval. Now my dad, he immigrated here to the United States when he was only 19 years old. And he didn't even have a high school education. But he really understood hard work. He came during the Depression, so hard work and trying to make a living and being a good person was his religion. So when my sister and I, began to grow in our faith, and then I began to look at ministry as a vocation, my father was very upset. And he began to tell me over and over and over again, you are wasting your life. Until I finally said to him, Dad, it doesn't matter how many times you tell me this, because the love of God is so compelling and irresistible in my life that I cannot stop following him. It created some tension and some distance in our relationship. And it was a very difficult time for me to not feel my father's approval. I graduated from seminary and ended up coming here fresh out of seminary, and I had all kinds of ideas of what I thought we could do here, all kinds of programs. You know, and people have talked about the chapel program, and people have talked about the revival in terms of the confession of sin, but I guess I want to say that really, we came together and didn't have a strategy. We just came together and we decided we were going to pray. Under the leadership of Ben Patterson, we began to pray for an hour before every chapel service. That's 4 hours a week that we began to intercede for all of you. We prayed that you would know the length and depth and height and breadth of the love of God and be filled up with the fullness of God. We prayed that you would experience the loving kindness of God that would lead you to repentance. You know, it wasn't us trying to fix you. It was simply us praying for you and loving you. And we saw God pour out his Spirit. When students, as a staff, we learned how to confess our sins to one another in prayer. We learned how to depend on the Holy Spirit. We learned how to listen and not just talk in prayer. And it was a result of those prayer times that we began to see hundreds of students responding to faith and coming to chapel and growing in the knowledge of him. It was a result of that we see this happening, and it's still happening. I hear students, not only do they want to worship in the gathering because chapel's not enough, but now you want to worship in Mao? Is this what I'm hearing? What an awesome thing. There is an insatiable hunger and thirst for God that continues to exist on this campus. And I just I'm so grateful because I had the privilege of experiencing that spiritual community. When students came forward to confess their sins, it was because they were touched by the love of God. They couldn't help but want to be set free from the things that were binding them. Some were prisoners to pornography, and they confessed that, and people gathered around them and began praying for them. They were not alone in that battle anymore. Some students were dealing with hurt and anger toward parents who abused them or betrayed them or neglected them. And to be able to confess that and find support, even just anger toward their roommates, something as simple as that can, people need the support of others. They need to be able to confess their sins to one another, and the Bible says you will be free. That's really what the revival was here at Hope. And my prayer is that it will continue. Well, my father, just to give you the end of the story, he came here to Hope and spent a week during tulip time with me. And we had an absolutely delightful week together. He could see how meaningful this ministry is. And he gave me his blessing during that week that I will always cherish. But you know, toward the end of his life, even though he never wanted to talk about Jesus, he always just said, I'm just going to be a good person. Toward the end of his life, he developed emphysema. And as his body began to weaken, I could see his heart softening. For those of you whose parents may not want to or may not understand your faith or may not validate it, I just want to ask you to keep praying for them and don't give up. Because my dad, toward the end of his life, I remember being on the phone with him. I was here in Holland, he was in San Diego, and I said, Dad, do you know that Jesus loves you? And he said, yes. And he said, in fact, last night I was praying that he would heal me, and he met me in the middle of the night with a vision, and he touched me. He healed me. And although his body continued to decline, his spirit became alive. And I praised God that I said, you know, do you feel like you can open your heart to him? Do you feel like you're ready to receive him into your heart? And he said, yes. We prayed together over the phone. It's never too late to receive the love of God. And I guess I just want to say that as you give your life to Christ, there's all kinds of temptations that will draw you away from living for Christ, whether it be our own flesh, the temptations of the world, Satan. But my prayer for you is that you will continue to let the love of God so compel you that you would not live for yourselves, but that you will live for him who died and rose again on your behalf. Following Christ is not a waste. It's everything you were made for. Let me pray for you. May the love of God, the irresistible grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us now. Amen.